Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1985 with a release date of Friday, November 13, 2015 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A historic radio frequency gets its own special event. Amateur radio on the International Space Station marks 15 successful years. The Radio Club of America and Radio Amateurs of Canada celebrate Ham's contributions, and a conference in India reaches out to the youngest amateurs. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1985 coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from South Mississippi, here's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
We begin this week with special recognition of a wartime radio legacy dating back 107 years. In 1908, the international distress frequency of 500 kilohertz took effect as established by the Berlin International Radio Telegraphic Convention. It's this historic slice of the radio spectrum where the action will be happening Friday, November 13th and Saturday, November 14th. Experimental operators in the U.S., Canada, as well as U.S. Heritage Maritime stations will work the event carrying special messages. Five Canadian operators will be participating, including VE7CNF in Burnaby, British Columbia, and VO1NA in Torbay, Newfoundland. The ARRL's medium wave experiment coordinator, Fritz Robb, W1FR, said most messages being carried will go out of CW. Says Robb, some stations will run beacons with special messages, and some will offer special QSLs. Other stations will simulate maritime communication. They'll call CQ on a designated calling frequency and then QSY to complete the QSO. Operators won't be sticking entirely to medium frequency, though. Be listening as the Canadian amateurs engage in crossband communication tests on 80 meters and 40 meters. Of course, there's also radio history that was made a little more recently, like 15 years ago. Imagine being a student in the year 2000, having a QSO with a ham somewhere out in space. That's what students at the Luther Burbank School in the Chicago suburbs did at the dawn of a program called Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, talked to the science teacher who was lucky enough to help her students be chosen to talk with ISS astronaut William M. Shep Shepard, KD5GSL.
Growing up, you live in a certain block. It's like your world first is just that block. And you go to school, and your horizons keep expanding as you progress through school. We opened their eyes to a horizon that they didn't even know about, and it was out in space.
In 1996, a junior high school teacher filled in an application for her school to make contacts with astronauts.
My name is Rita Wright. My call sign is KC9CDL. I was a science teacher, so I was always looking for something new and different to implement or put into my lesson plans to make science exciting and more attractive to my students.
The first full mission in the newly completed International Space Station happened in the fall of 2000. Wright School was selected to make the very first ham radio contact.
We became aware of this program and started going through, learning all about it and participating a little bit. These opportunities came up and we just grabbed them.
Finally, in December, the students all gathered in the school auditorium for the first school contact with a brand new space station.
The whole school was involved with the process. They all knew about it. The actual contact itself was in our auditorium. All of the students were there, and we had set up on stage the radios. It was very, very exciting, the actual contact. The students were well-behaved and anxious and, you know, extremely interested.
Wright says a ham radio contact wasn't quite in the regular curriculum.
It was not something that was ordinarily done in a classroom situation. I mean, you go into your classroom, you're given a textbook, and you teach page 1, page 2, page 3, etc. What I tried to do was do that, plus bring into the classroom the excitement of what's out there today and what could be tomorrow for them. Of course, they had to learn the basic lessons in science. That's what I taught them. But I also tried to bring to them what else is out there and what opportunities they could take advantage of or, you know, they could follow. I always was trying to open up the world, so to speak, to the kids as much as I could.
Retired schoolteacher Rita Wright, recalling the very first International Space Station to school ham radio contact 15 years ago. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
We should note, too, that this historic moment wasn't the last the kids got to talk with Shepard. The next friendly exchange between him and the students came in person during his visit to the school in May of the following year. Needless to say, the reception was perfect. New regulations from the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa now allow amateur radio applicants who are younger than 20 and who pass the Class B exam to hold a ZU or Class B license until age 25. After that, they must upgrade by taking the Class A exam in order to receive a Class A license, designated by a ZS or ZR call sign. The authority's decision had been based on its belief that the Class B license's primary role is to serve as an introduction to amateur radio and serve as youngsters' entry point into the hobby. The regulations were implemented after much input from the South African Radio League, which had pressed for a reasonable interval of time for the upgrade to Class A. As a result, the authority has declared that, effective April 1st, 2017, all amateurs older than 25 will become ineligible for a ZU license renewal. Speaking of young hams, the Microwave Theory and Technique Society of the IEEE is seizing the opportunity to attract students to amateur radio during its flagship conference in India in early December. The International Microwave and RF Conference in Hyderabad will be hosting a special event station, AU2MTT, that will be operating for 2 weeks in conjunction with the gathering. One society member, Jim Radio, AJ3K, told the ARRL, "The special event is intended to draw attention to ham radio, STEM, and MTT, both from conference participants and any and all active hams in India. In addition to encouraging them to pursue their licenses, organizers want to see more youngsters consider careers in engineering, science, technology, or mathematics." Radio said the effort's emphasis will be on amateur radio's role in disaster communications and addressing humanitarian needs. This is being done through a program known by the acronym SITE, for Special Interest Group on Humanitarian Technology. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Stevens County Amateur Radio Society, N4DME Repeater, in Toccoa, Georgia, Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Christmas is going to come a little early for amateurs in the Netherlands who got the gift of a new band for operating. The 60-meter band from 5,350 kHz to 5,450 kHz was incorporated into the Netherlands National Frequency Plan, allowing Dutch amateurs with an F registration to use the new band on a secondary basis, beginning the middle of this month. Other nations granting similar privileges recently include Hungary, Oman, and Honduras. Hams in the U.S. have had secondary access to channelized operation on the band since May 2003, when the FCC gave its approval. 60 meters has also been in the news at the World Radio Communication Conference in Geneva, where attendees are considering a new 15 kilohertz wide secondary allocation on the band, with operators limited to 15 watts of EIRP. At press time, November 11th, the latest report was that the consensus on the matter was looking optimistic. Several distinguished radio amateurs are being honored by the Radio Club of America at its awards banquet and technical symposium, November 21st in Cupertino, California. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has the names.
The annual gathering of the Radio Club of America is one of the top events in wireless communications. The group uses the opportunity to tap radio standouts and acknowledge them for their hard work. The extensive list of honorees this year includes a number of hardworking hams. Dr. Nathan Cohen, W1YW, has been chosen to receive the Alfred H. Greb Award in recognition of the achievement of excellence in engineering and manufacturing of radio equipment. David Bart, KB9YPD, is receiving the Ralph Batcher Memorial Award for helping preserve the history of radio and electronic communications, including the Radio Club of America's own history. Timothy J. Duffy, K3LR, has been chosen to receive the 2015 President's Award for his unselfish dedication in supporting the club. Gerald L. Agliata, W2GLA, was chosen to receive the Edgar F. Johnson Pioneer Citation in appreciation of his longtime and substantial contributions to the success of the club. Carol Perry, WB2MGP, a well-known ham radio education advocate, is being presented with the Vivian A. Carr Award, recognizing her contributions as a woman in wireless communications. The keynote speech at the banquet presentation will be delivered by David Leeson, W6NL. He will discuss Silicon Valley's bountiful community of entrepreneurs in the communications field. As the list of awardees show, opportunity and creativity is everywhere. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
Radio Amateurs of Canada is also paying tribute to two notable amateurs by appointing them to the Canadian Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. The recent appointees are Jim Dean, VE3IQ of Ottawa, Ontario, and Pharrell Hoppy Hopwood, VE7RD of North Vancouver, British Columbia. Inclusion into the Hall of Fame means the amateurs have achieved outstanding efforts in their service to amateur radio in Canada or amateur radio in general. More details about the awards and the honorees' contributions will appear in a forthcoming edition of Canadian Amateur Magazine. NDX Herald DF2WO is operating as XT2AW from Burkina Faso until November 27th. Herald will likely be operating on slow CW. QSLs go to his manager, M0OXO. Andy DL9USA and Jan DJ8NK will be active as VP2ECC and VP2ENK, respectively, from the Caribbean island of Anguilla until November 18th. They're using CW, SSB, and digital modes, and QSLs go via their home call signs. Martin LU9EFO and Faber HK6F are operating until November 17th from San Andres. Call signs will be HK0/, followed by their home call signs. The QSL manager is SP5QAZ. Dave, EI9FBB, is activating Koa TV Island in the Seychelles for the IOTA program and will operate as S79C. He'll be there November 16th through the 22nd. Steve, G0KIK, is still operating holiday style as E51KIK from the South Cook Islands through November 15th. QSLs go to his home call sign. And finally this week, it seems that old jokes, unlike radio waves, have an uncanny ability to bounce back and return to Earth. Take the case of a news prank the BBC staged a few years ago. A fictional radio astronomer at an observatory in Puerto Rico happened upon some old broadcast signals floating out in space while attempting to track extraterrestrial signals from his lab, or so the story goes. Then he identified those surprise signals as the transmissions from old TV broadcasts, identifying them even to the point that he could name the very TV shows the signals were carrying. Well, the story, like the signals, got very decent airplay for the April Fool's prank the British broadcasters pulled a couple of years ago. The fictional astronomer, Dr. Venn, who was not even given a first name by the creator of the story, had theorized at the time that the signals likely bounced off some faraway asteroid cloud and thus returned to Earth. Some of the TV shows he identified were said to be 50 years old or more. Well, it didn't take 50 years, but something has apparently bounced back to Earth for real. And it's the old story about these ancient reruns. Twitter feeds and other forms of social media have come alive with this bizarre tale that old radio waves don't die and don't even fade away, all of which makes for very poor science, but a very good joke, even if it's not April Fool's. Perhaps as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, we might just consider it someone else's old turkey. With thanks to Allen Labs, AMSAT, the ARRL, the BBC, CQ Magazine, the 5 MHz Newsletter, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, IEEE, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, Radio Amateurs of Canada, the South African Radio League, Southgate Amateur News, Twit TV, Veron, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW in Picayune, Mississippi, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.